Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury.
One of the all-time greats who has put together another great season and has had fabulous material to work with is Merrill Reese. My friend, welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. We have had some good scripts.
Yes. And doesn't that make all the difference in the world when you have a good script?
Absolutely. Like the script you had at the Rose Bowl.
Exactly. That's exactly right. When you look at the makeup of this team, I remember before the... It's interesting. I've referenced this a couple times. We talked to you before the Detroit game. And you know what was interesting about that? As you said to me, he says, this game makes me nervous. And that was one of the tighter games all season, Merrill.
It was. It was a scary game. Eagles had to come from behind at the end. But
right,
you know what
so,
it told us? It told
yeah.
us that Detroit was going to be something. And, you know, if the season started a little bit later, that would have been a playoff team. I mean, Dan Campbell did a heck of a job with that team.
No question. So when you look at this team, what came together as the season went that you weren't sure about that made a big difference in what we're seeing?
It was the way, first of all, you know from talking to me that I have always been at Jalen Hurts' corner. Last year when people were saying they still have to find their quarterback, maybe they can trade for Russell Wilson, or how about let's get in the bidding for Deshaun Watson, I thought they were nuts because I thought they had a diamond in Jalen Hurts. I was one of the people when they drafted him in the second round, they said, this is amazing, this is great. And I envisioned him becoming an outstanding quarterback. Not necessarily so quickly, because the difference between last year and this year has been significant. He went out in the summer, he went to a quarterback guru in California, he worked the mechanics, he came back as a much more accurate passer and a quicker reader of defenses. And he has been outstanding. So that's the biggest thing, the improvement in Jalen Hurts. But look at the way this team changed from last year to this year. You start out with draft night, and of course they pick a couple of great players who are going to be big in the future. I mean, you talk about Jordan Davis. His best days are ahead of him. The Kobe Dean will be more than just a special teamer, as the maybe by next season he will be a key linebacker for this team. And Cam Jurgens will be the successor to the great Jason Kelce. But look at the people that helped immediately. That draft night trade to Tennessee to come up with A.J. Brown. I mean, that got John Robinson, the Titans general manager, fired later in the season, because A.J. Brown is a big, big difference maker. And then right before the season started, they went out and got C.J. Gardner-Johnson from the Saints. And he has been an outstanding player in that secondary, the safety. And there's a guy who missed four games or five games and ended up still tied for the lead in interceptions. And then along the way in free agency, how about Haason Reddick? 16 interceptions, right near the top of the league. He has been the number one impact player on the defense. So, and then James Bradbury, who the Giants let go, made the big interception last week against his former team. He's been one of the best corners in football, and you team him up with Darius Slay, and you've got great corners. So as the season went along, the Eagles showed some injuries, and they showed some weaknesses against the run on the defensive front. So what did Howie Roseman do? He added Linval Joseph, and he added Ndamukong Suh. So it was the adjustments that they made, and they shored up all of the weak areas. And I'm prepared to tell you that this team does not have an overt weakness.
And I agree with that. But what I find interesting is that when you make the number of moves that the Eagles have made, one thing that is not guaranteed is chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they have it. What is it? Is it the player leadership, the locker room? What is it that has brought them all these various personalities of great talent together with a single purpose?
Well, I always believe that it starts with the head coach, because if that head coach has an atmosphere that he creates, then the chemistry follows. So if that head coach has half the locker room against him and other guys for him and there's bickering back and forth, that's a bad thing. Nick Sirianni is liked. He communicates well. He's not Ted Lasso, as people thought when he first came here and had an awkward press conference. He's he's grown in his press conferences. He's no longer comparing them to plants, where that got an uproarious roar last year. But he's comfortable, and the players like him. But he also can be very, very authoritative. He can be very tough, and nothing gets by him. And he creates a very healthy atmosphere. And then you talk about the leaders. Well, who are the leaders of this team? On the defensive line, Brandon Graham. Brandon Graham is my answer to the question, who is your favorite Eagle of all time that you've ever met? And what I say is, you know, there are a lot of them. I mean, going back to Reggie White and all these guys. I love them. Mike Quick, my partner in the booth. But I have always made the statement that I've never met a better person on or off the field than BG. He's amazing. If you happen to bump into BG in the hall when you first arrive at the complex at NovaCare, the rest of your day has just improved. I mean, he sets such a positive atmosphere on that team. He is amazing. Jason Kelce, a great leader. How about the quarterback? How about Jalen Hurts? Everybody on that roster reveals this man. He's very quiet, very soft-spoken, but he is a student of the game. He's the first one there, last one to leave. I always tell people his profession is football, his hobby is football, everything is football with Jalen Hurts. He just works to get better every single day. So when you have people like that who are leaders on this team, it really helps.
Well, it really helps when your best players are your hardest workers.
Yeah. It
sets the tone for everybody else. And look, Hurts grew up in a football family, his father as a coach and so forth. But, I mean, Merrill, he obviously has worked his tail off when nobody else was watching to make himself this good when people are watching.
Yeah. The biggest mistake many members of the media made, and many fans, was to say that he had modest arm strength. There is nothing modest about his arm or his arm talent. He's got he can throw every pass there is at a million miles an hour if he wants to. He's displayed great touch. You know, those balls come down a chimney into the arms of A.J. Brown, who goes up and, you know, they talk about 50-50 balls. I think they're more like 90-10 balls when they're intended for him. And he's got weapons around him. I've said that A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are the best pair of wide receivers the Eagles have ever had in their history. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know what they had in 1934 or 33 or 38, but I suspect they probably threw five passes a game, so it didn't make much difference. Mm-hmm. But if you look at this going back to the days of Mike Quick and Harold Carmichael, people say, well, there's a Hall of Famer, Harold Carmichael, and a guy who should be in the Hall of Fame, and Mike Quick. And I say, you're absolutely right, but Mike Quick arrives in 82, in his first year, he had 10 receptions. And that was also pretty much Harold's last year. So you never had those two together in their prime. And you had Jeremy Maclin and DeSean Jackson. They were great. But these two as a combination, I think, are the best I've ever seen.
No, and I can see that, because they're in their prime. And the game is different today. You need to have two guys like that today, as opposed to 30 years ago, because the game is different. Something that they played the Giants, and everybody had a pretty good feel for all the matchups going into the Giants game, because they play all the time. This is one that they haven't played San Francisco, So what's the mystery about this one going into it?
Well, the mystery is we don't know what's going to happen. A lot of people think they know what's going to happen.
Oh, I know.
In this city, you'd think the Eagles are going to just go in there and waltz through the 49ers if you listen to some of the talk shows. But, and the fans, now they're going to bury the 49ers. I mean, look, 49ers didn't look that great against Dallas last week, and the Eagles just killed the Giants. I thought the Giants game would be a lot closer than it was. I thought the Eagles would win, but I thought it would go into the fourth quarter competitive, which it wasn't. It didn't go into the second quarter competitive. But in this case, Steve, this is going to be the toughest test the Eagles have had all year, and it's going to be the toughest test the 49ers have had all year.
That's right. That's exactly right.
People say, but the big difference is at quarterback between Jalen Hurts, who has leaped into a spot in the top five in the league, against a rookie. But here's the thing. Jalen Hurts isn't going against Brock Purdy unless they get together and arm wrestle before the game. But Jalen Hurts is going against the 49ers defense. And Brock Purdy has done the job. Kyle Shanahan has put him in position to succeed. He doesn't have to carry that team. He has to he has to distribute the ball. Jalen Hurts is clearly the engine of the Eagles. But he faces the 49ers defense, and Purdy faces the Eagles defense. So I think it's going to be very, very tough. I wouldn't bet a nickel on this game.
You know what's amazing is that when I listen to you talk, these are all the exact same things I talk about all the time. I mean, all the time. Nobody ever knows. And I remember going to the Rose Bowl, I said, you know what? Utah's really good. And I tell Penn State fans, but guess what? Your team's really good. That's what makes it fun. And that's what this is. The Eagles are really good, and guess what? The other guy's really good. But
They're really good.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that defense.
Purdy is expected not to lose the game.
Yes. And he that's what he does. And listen, I look at that defense, and I look at Nick Bosa, and I say he's scary. And their middle linebacker, Fred Warner.
Yeah.
Fred Warner is tough.
Yeah.
And the guy who plays next to him, Dre Greenlaw, he's tough. And so on down the line. And on their offense, well, Christian McCaffrey, he's very good catching or running. And he's a terrific back. And they've got the receivers and Ayuk and Deebo Samuels. And I think the Eagles have a great tight end in Dallas Goedert.
But if
there's one guy who probably holds the crown right now as the most gifted tight end in the football, at least in the catching area, I've never seen anything like George Kittle. Travis Kelce's pretty good too, but I mean, Kittle makes catches that I haven't seen before. Last week he caught one off his helmet, off his nose, and then pulled it away from the defense at the right moment. He's incredible.
Yeah. The city is obviously doesn't like this team. They love this team.
Oh, yeah.
And
right now.
at this hour.
They usually love them after three or four wins, and they say they'll never lose again. And then they lose again, and then they say they'll never win again. So it depends on the climate.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. All right. They lose a game, they're never winning again. They win three, they're winning the whole thing.
That's it.
But there's something different about this team, though, don't you think, Merrill? That there's something a little bit different about them.
Well, yes. The big difference in this team is a quarterback who can do things that no quarterback has ever done before. Yeah. I love Donovan McNabb. Maybe there was a certain point at his absolute peak, because Donovan McNabb clearly is the best quarterback in Eagles history, because the records tell us he owns every passing record in the book. But Jalen Hurts is only a few years in, so he can't take that crown. But I look at him, and I look at the way he creates a +1 offense every time he lines them up. that makes the running backs more dangerous because they have to account for the running of Jalen Hurts. I look at the way he works. I look at his athleticism. I look at the way that he's now reading defenses. He has, without going crazy, he has the possibility, and we have to look back in 5 years, 6 years, but he has the possibility of being the best quarterback in the history of the franchise.
Well, this is something that Jack Ham and I talk about on our broadcast all the time, and you and Mike talk about it as well. There are certain points on the field, and this really shows up a lot in the red zone. If you have a quarterback like Jalen Hurts, I have to spy him. Well, what does spying him mean? That takes one player out of the pass defense, and it takes away the ability of that same player to blitz.
Yes.
There's a domino effect that God has given this guy the ability to do that now that really ties up a defensive coordinator because he's now committing a player that he can't use as a chess piece.
Yeah, and the same thing with the running game because of Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders outplayed Saquon Barkley, the two Penn Staters last week.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, you can't say Miles is better than Saquon. I mean, they're both great backs, but I think Saquon gets the edge in pure talent. But boy, were they! You know, Miles has had a great year. Those two had statistics that were very comparable.
Yeah, they sure did. I want you to have a blast on Sunday. How about that?
Thank you. You know, I'm looking forward to it, Steve. But I tell people, you know, the best feeling about being a broadcaster, being a player, being a coach, being a fan, is the day after winning a Super Bowl. When your team wins a Super Bowl, you wake up the next morning, you levitate out of bed, and every bite you take in your breakfast tastes better. But if your team loses the Super Bowl, if you go all the way to the Super Bowl and you wake up after a loss, as I did against New England, Oakland back in 1981, and against the Patriots in 2004, oh my, you don't even want to take your head off the pillow. It is the lowest of the lows. So I hope they get there. I hope they win this game, and I hope they go to Arizona. Hope I get a couple rounds of golfing, and then win on that Sunday and beat, I think, the Bengals.
Yeah. No, the Bengals were really good. And by the way, my hope is on February 13th, Monday, you have the tape.
I hope so. I hope so. The worst thing, Steve, is to go back to, I don't know if you've had this, doing bowl games over the years, where they have set up at the hotel, they have a post-game reception after the game. And you go back, and after the win, it is the greatest thing ever. And after a loss, you don't even want to go in that room.
No. Okay, Rose Bowl 2017, Penn State loses on the final play on a field goal 52-49. Do you think I wanted to go into the hotel?
No. That was the Darnold game, right?
Yeah, that was the Darnold game. Okay, this time, do you think I wanted to go to the hotel? I wanted to drive the bus back to the hotel.
I know.
And break every speed limit.
Oh, I know. My next-door neighbor, Steve Wackman, is on the board at Penn State. And Steve just comes back, and his whole family goes out there. They're still smiling from that trip.
Yeah. And I want this for you again, to get that feeling that you had from 17.
I hope so. Come on.
My friend, thank you so much for your time. The audience loves you, and so do we.
You know what? I did 15 interviews from various radio stations this week, every single day, and this is my favorite one, always speaking with you.
That means more to me than you know. Thank you, my friend.
Take care, Steve. Have a great weekend.